right. Now, as you would like to, open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. And we're going to read through a whole bunch of verses from it today. But just before we get into it, I just want to talk to you a little bit about families. Now families are really, really important to God. So important to God that at the very beginning in the book of Genesis, it was all about a family. Now, God put man and wife together, and that's the way it was. And it was all about the family, the first family. Then later on, God was actually known as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was the God of the families. He was very important about the families. And they had such big families in those days, didn't they? In the book of Luke, in the book of Matthew, there are certain sections where it goes through the heritage, the family heritage of who that family is. And it's very important in those days to understand that. Not so much these days, but I think it still is important. There's lots of money being made out there for checking out your ancestry.com type thing, finding out your DNA. Jamie's keen to find out if she's got some Viking in her. I don't know why that is, but she it doesn't change who you are, darling. Just because you go, oh, I'm a Viking. Arr! I can wear silly how cats now, you know. But anyway, I've got a family record. My family are doing that because I don't have a lot of the time or patience to sit there and look through all the stuff. And they send me some information. And there's some good information in there about my family. One name to claim is Isaac Newton is in my family tree. Which is interesting because he didn't have kids. but he's off to the side somewhere there. No, it's the Isaac Newton. It's in my book, mate. It must be true. I'll put it on Facebook later and that'll verify it for you, all right? And I have a Bible here that is from the first parish in my lineage that came to Australia. And so his mum wrote in it, I think she was a little bit worried about him coming to Australia, and she writes, age 26 years, born January the 16th, 1862, all for Jesus, Fred Parish, a gift from your loving mother, July the 24th, 1888. And it says where he was from, Lincolnshire, England. And so that was his Bible that he brought out on a boat. And so that's a little bit of my heritage. The other part of my family tree has the Joyner family, and he was arrested at 14 for stealing a boat, just a little boat, and he got wrapped on the knuckles for that. But when he was 17, he hadn't learnt his lesson of stealing, and he stole 50 pounds of coffee beans. So you can see where my coffee addiction comes from. It's a heritage thing. Sorry? 50 pounds, 32.5 kilos. Yeah, that's not even close, is it? Yeah. Don't put me on the spot, Dan. Anyway, 50 pounds is what the charge sheet said. And for that, he was sentenced to 17 years in Port Arthur for stealing 50 pounds of coffee beans. And he wasn't a very good convict. Because he actually served 21 years. He got in trouble. He did chain gangs. He was put on the wheel. He was scourged or whipped, cat of nine tails. And at the age of almost 40-something, was released. And that's when he got married. And he had 8 kids. So, he started late but didn't stop. So, there we go. And he died in Melbourne. He was arrested for being homeless, because back in those days that's what happened. When you were homeless, you got arrested, and they put him into a place in Melbourne, which is where he passed away, left alone. So that's a little bit of my family, and that's where I come from, and that's where I'm put together. But God loves family, and we're going to read today that the part of family is very, very important in the Christmas story. It's very, very important. So let's have a look in Luke chapter 1, verse 1. And it says this, many have undertaken to compile a narrative about the events that have been fulfilled right among us, just as the original eyewitnesses and the servants of the word handed them down to us. So it also seemed good to me, since I have carefully investigated everything from the very first, to write to you in an orderly sequence, most honourable Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things about which you have been instructed. So the whole writing of the book of Luke was written so that people may know what they believe is founded on truth. There's no fake news in the book of Luke. It's all real, it's all written down, it's all been investigated, and it's been brought about. And it's important for us to grab hold of this, that we grab the truth of what is coming through here. Because the truth is shared in all its warts and everything. It's not just a pretty story made up, it's the truth of what it is, and it impacts us right here and right now. I believe the Christmas story is told in the book of Luke is the greatest story that can impact your life and my life. It can make such a difference because of God entering time and space to impact us. And he used a family to do it. He didn't just turn up himself and dressed in some superhero outfit. He humbled himself and came as a baby so that you and I could know the truth. So I'm going to jump down to verse 6, where we meet the two people in our story. First two people. It says, both were righteous in God's sight, living without blame according to all the commands and requirements of the Lord. That's not a bad statement, is it? Would you like that to be said about you? Both were righteous in God's sight, living without blame according to all the commands and requirements of the Lord. These are good people. These are top shelf quality people. We find out a little bit later that Zechariah, he was a priest, so you might expect that from a priest, but we also find out he was also a prophet that spoke the word of God. So this is what happens though, but they had no children because Elizabeth could not conceive, for both of them had been well along in years. When his division, Zechariah's division, was on duty, he was serving as a priest before God. And it happened that he was the one that was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. The hour of the incense of the Lord assembly of all the people were praying outside. And as he went in, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. And at this time, the angel speaks to him and tells him about what's going on. And you know, Zechariah doesn't believe it. We're going to look at that a little bit right now. But it's a significant event that takes place, not just in Zechariah's life, but Elizabeth's life as well. They're both older people. And her not being able to have kids was such a shameful thing in that culture. Such a shameful thing. You can just imagine. I mean, she's not in her early 20s. So she hasn't just lived a few years of not being able to have kids. Now, my very first time to the Solomon Islands, we took a young girl who was 26 years old, and she was a teacher, and she'd done teaching out west, and then she'd come back into Mount Gravatt, and she was come on this team, and she would stand up in front of the Solomon Islands and say, hi, my name is so-and-so, I'm 26 years old, and I'm not married. And they'd all go, ooh. And then she said, and so therefore I have no kids. Ooh. They were horrified. At least I was able to stand up, hey, I'm Donnie Johnson, I'm years old, and I have one wife and one child. Hey, well done. Where she all got this, oh. And you could feel like all the old ladies were going, we have to pray for you. We pray this lady for a man and lots of kids, Lord. Because even then, it was this difference that took place. Jump to verse 18 with me. And this is where Zechariah has this little discussion with the angel. And he says, how can I know this is true? Zechariah asked the angel, for I am an old man and my wife is well along in years. Now, men, let me give you a warning. Don't say that your wife is well along in years. It may not go down well. Maybe to an angel you might get away with it. But if your wife's listening, you probably won't. Now, Arthur, King James Version. What do you think Zechariah said about his wife here? You're not sure? Here we go, you ready? For my wife is stricken with age. Stricken with age. Now, gentlemen, I don't think you'll definitely get away with that one. Yeah, she's not looking real well. She's got stricken with age disease. Can't help it. And talking about stricken with age, happy 87th birthday to a very distinguished gentleman in our presence today. So this is what he says, "For I am an old man and my wife is stricken with age." And the angel responded to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands before the presence of God, and as I was sent to speak to you to tell you the good news. Now listen, you will become silent and unable to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time." Verse 18 to 20. So here we have a holy couple unto the law, a priest and a prophet, but not able to have kids, stricken with age. And now all of a sudden, a miracle takes place in their lives where she can have a child. She can have a child. So what do? They hold a big party and celebrate this great news? No, they disappear to the hill country. They disappear. They want to go away and do this in peace and quiet. I mean, she's had a whole life of shame. Her nickname was childless. Now here comes childless. Isn't that terrible? Aren't people nasty? In the words of Kamal, why are people so unkind? It's just crazy. Anyway, the story goes on, and we find out that there's another couple that are having a little bit of this sort of problem with angels appearing to them as well. In verse 26, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, an angel Gabriel is sent by God to the town of Galilee, to Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to be married to Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Here we have the second amazing part in this story. It's Mary that we know all about, the virgin birth, this amazing thing that takes place. And again, if you read through the book of Luke, you will see that there is more amazing stories that take place. You'll see Mary's response. I've preached on Mary's response before, and it's just an amazing thing that happens in her life. But this is a young virgin girl. And we saw on the clip there that it was like, "Oh, really, mate? How convenient. An angel appeared to you and your girlfriend's pregnant and you didn't do it." Oh, yeah, good one. By the way, guys, I don't think that will fly today either. All right? I don't think that worked. Oh, darling, you're the only one I've got left. So if Brendan's going to turn up to my place and say, look, it wasn't my fault, Mr. Johnson. An angel appeared and that's how Jamie got pregnant. It's probably not going to fly, okay? Not that I'm saying that that's what has happened, by the way. It's just, I look at you and you just got embarrassed. Anyway, moving along. So we've got an amazing thing that takes place. And here's what happens is the angel says, "Do you want proof? Then consider your relative Elizabeth." Relative Elizabeth. Now, if you look into it, some versions have cousin Elizabeth. I've delved into it a little bit, looked at a whole bunch of different translations and looked into different commentary writers. Some say auntie. I mean, if you just think logically, older lady, young teenager, maybe auntie probably does fit, but it could well be cousin. But it doesn't really matter. The reality is it was a relative and someone obviously close, because what does Mary do? She goes and visits with her. She goes and hangs out with this lady, obviously someone that is close to her. And she is conceived in her old age and is in the sixth month, and they have the one who was called childless. For nothing will be impossible with God. So here's God working in this family, a family with much shame, and another family that yet hasn't begun, and yet God's already at work. It's amazing. So Mary heads off, verse 39. Mary heads off to see Elizabeth. "And in those days, Mary set out and hurried to the town in the hill country of Judah, where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt inside her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, 'Blessed are you among women, and your child will be blessed. How could this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For you see, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leapt for joy inside me. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill what he has spoken to her.'" Isn't that amazing? The Spirit of God hit this lady because Mary was there carrying the Lord Jesus. And, you know, bang, it's a significant thing. But the other thing that's significant there, do you see what's happening here? Here we have the older, wiser lady who's been the wife of this priest all her life, not able to have kids. So she would have, like so many others in the Bible, would have pressed in with God. You know, everyone else is paying out on me. They're calling me. My nickname's childless. So I'm going to press into God. And here she is in her status as an elder type person. You know what I'm saying? A wise person within the family, significant. And Mary goes to see her. And you can see she humbles herself before Mary, who's carrying the Savior. Blessed are you among women. Blessed are you, for you have believed what the Lord has said. And I wonder if Zechariah was standing there going, I wish I had believed. I could have said something right now. But now it's just the girls talking. And I have to be quiet. And then I have to argue with all the relatives because we're going to name the son John. And John is not in our lineage. Which is interesting. In my lineage, there are so many Williams, so many Freds, so many Georges. It's amazing how far you go back. And it doesn't matter what part of the tree it comes from. There's these Williams, Freds, Georges. So when Donald came along, what are you doing, Donald? Where did that come from? Whereas this one is John. And I'm not giving it away that, you know, Elizabeth and Zechariah have a son called John, and we know him as John the Baptist. See, family is important to God. And he has put this in together in this place for this family to be significant in your life and in my life. Because John the Baptist was significant. He laid a platform for when Jesus got there. So how much more older than Jesus is John? He's about 6 months older. So the ministry that goes forward before Jesus is just an intro. And then John does what he does. Then Jesus comes along. Builds from that ministry. Family is important. Throughout the years, many denominations have called each other brother and sister. Many. Because one of the big pictures in the Bible about the people of God is that we are family. And recently, during COVID, we did a whole series about being adopted. That we are adopted. We are sons and daughters of Almighty God. And that's incredibly significant. And it just backs up again that God loves family. He wants people to belong. His first port of call is our family. But I don't know about you, but sometimes families don't get on well. Sometimes things happen and we don't practice forgiveness. We don't allow God to work through us in mercy. We tend to build a wall around us and protect ourselves. And we keep people out, even some of those close to us in our family. And we have broken families. And I think God knew that, which is why he was working in this family where there was a lot of brokenness in amongst Zechariah and Elizabeth, even though they were righteous and holy and good people. There wasn't a lot of acceptance in their community. And we have another situation where Mary is not married yet and she's pregnant, and Joseph, and there's shame there as well. And yet God is working in the midst of it. He's doing something that is significant and real. And then he's got his church. And if you've been to church enough, you'll see that the church can often be broken and in shame and in hurt. But God wants to work through that. And he wants his Holy Spirit to bring about reconciliation. He wants his Holy Spirit to bring about healing in our families and in our church and then on into our community. Because as we experience that healing personally, as we experience that healing as a church, then we can go into a broken community and we can bring that healing because we know it's true. We know it's real. We know it impacts and changes lives. Because we wear what we've been through. We know forgiveness. And we've brought forgiveness. And we accept what God has for us. Family is important to God. Both our families and the family of God, the church. So this Christmas, think and take some time to pray into your family. Because of the way things are, and because cost of flying is a little bit dearer at the moment, you may not get to be with family, but you can certainly pray, and you can certainly minister into that space. But for us as God's family, there's opportunities for us to be a blessing to one another, to support one another, and to encourage one another. And then there's also the offering of us going outside these four walls to sing carols, to bring joy and celebration into people's lives, to bring those hampers into people's lives. The chaplains have already delivered the ones that they've been received. They've already gone out there. I've received 2 phone calls this week from people who had the cards in there, and they decided to check www.kiwanalife.com and ring the church who put those hampers together to say thank you. So God's work is at work. The Holy Spirit is out there while we don't even know what's going on. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you are a mighty God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are at work in us. I thank you, Lord God, that you have placed us into families because you know we need families. You know they need to be important to us because they're important to you. But also in that, Lord God, you have placed us into your family. For we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. We have your inheritance. We walk under a son and daughter of adoption. We are children of the King. Lord, may we walk in your inheritance, in the empowering of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Amen.